Greetings, I'm Brad Thomas. Welcome to Christ's Resurrection of Life Body. In accord with what I said at the time of the last message, I will be beginning with what is referenced as the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. Gospel according to St. John, Apostle John, one and the same. But first, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, holy be thy name, blessed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so in earth, as in thy holy word so in us. Give us this day our daily bread, and everything we need and cannot do without. Bless us we may forgive our debtors as you forgive us our sins against you, that is thee and thine. Lead us not into temptation to sin, but deliver us from evil. For thine only is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever, in Christ Jesus' name. The Gospel according to John, the Apostle. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And here we have another reference to the other miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ did following turning water into wine. Nicodemus, one of the Jewish rulers, comes to Jesus by night so that he may do so covertly, so that he may do so without being known to have done so by the other rulers of the Jews. And he says, No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He doesn't say no man can do a miracle like that. He says no man can do these miracles, plural, that thou doest, except God be with him. And I'll take him at his word on that again, that there were multiple miracles which we do not get to hear of. Jesus says to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so we get the born again believer phenomenon from this. And Nicodemus, showing how spiritual a man he is, how learned he is, this doctor of the law, this ruler of the Jews, you know, it undoubtedly has a doctorate in Jewish theology. High and mighty man, elder, learned. And he says, How can a man be born when he is old? So I take it he is absolutely, positively elder. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now you could say, well, he's just being rhetorical. He's just engaging in this great rhetoric here. No, I don't think so. It's a matter of the man is very carnal, very fleshly, sinful, a very limited spiritual acumen, despite being near the pinnacle of Jewry, despite being far along in years. Just an amazing thing for him to say, as far as I'm concerned. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Of course, Nicodemus's mother probably was no longer existing, but how can he come up with something as carnal as that? Really? And Jesus answers, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." It would be one thing for a Roman centurion to say such a thing, or for Barabbas, leader of insurrection and murderer and profane fellow, to say such a thing. But for Nicodemus, this high and mighty Jewish leader, to say such a thing, to have such a complete dearth of spirituality as that. But then Jesus goes on to say, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." To which Nicodemus says, "How can these things be?" He couldn't come up with a better question than that, other than, in essence, that's unbelievable, impossible. How can that be? It is, isn't it? Jesus says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." How many Christians, professing Christians, have you met that you would say are like that, that would liken to that? I can't think of any. However, I have read of one that would somewhat fit that description, and that is Philip the Apostle, whom God the Father, by the Spirit, sent down from Jerusalem toward Gaza. And let me backtrack. I believe, not sure whether it was Gaza first or Samaria first, but he was able to come and go that way, that remarkable way. That's not the norm. From my personal experience of encounters with Christians, I can't say that I can think of too many that applies to, but maybe I just, maybe my experience is too limited, and it probably is too limited, but this idea that those indwelled by the Spirit of God are able to travel like that, to function like that, it's just a remarkable, remarkable thing. And I can absolutely, totally commiserate with Nicodemus about that. It's like, how is that possible? What is God talking about? That is truly impossible. Impossible to understand that, I think. And yet, it's It's something that God apparently intended. Intended for his followers to be able to do that, to be used that way, would come in very, very handy in many circumstances. Going back to Brother Andrew and his ministry, Open Doors, this matter of being able to cross behind the Iron Curtain, to cross into countries that are enslaved, or behind the bamboo curtain with Bob Fu and China Aid, to be able to go into places in the Middle East, in Iran, in Iraq, in Northern Africa, and so many other places, into North Korea, and to witness to and bring multitudes to the Lord. It's a remarkable thing. And indeed, Philip ministered first in Samaria before he was sent to Gaza. But again, that I understand Nicodemus having a little trouble with that, because I can't imagine, I can't comprehend. That's the only thing that I can liken it to, is how God used Philip. But Jesus, in response to Nicodemus's response, says, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? How can you be a spiritual leader in Israel? How can you be in the Jewish hierarchy? How can you have attained to that and not to understand these things? Have no understanding of these things?" But he didn't have any idea of those things. And in fact, he was more spiritually open to the Messiah, the Christ, coming, being there, than the rest of the rulers, or at least of those that we know of. There were those who did apparently believe on Jesus, but they certainly did not evidence it in any way that was of importance, and that came to believe anyway in the Lord at some point in time. Between then and his crucifixion and his resurrection and the apostolic church. But Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." We, our. He is not referring to the apostles. He is not referring to the disciples. He is referring to God the Father, himself, and the Holy Spirit, we. And then he switches it and says, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? These are earthly things that he has described to Nicodemus so far. Earthly things. The matter of being born again, and the matter of being able to go hither and thither without people recognizing where they are coming from, going to. And Jesus says, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." So he comes out and tells Nicodemus that he is the Son of God, that he is in heaven, even while he's on earth speaking with him. That's just remarkable, and it's not just my private interpretation of it. Jesus explicitly says, the Son of Man which is in heaven. He that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So the serpent on the staff and Christ shall be on the cross. And Jesus shares this with Nicodemus before he shares it, really shares it to speak of with the apostles, who are not, they're not in on this discussion. This is not something that he's sharing with the apostles. He's not sharing it with his inner circle of Simon Peter, James, and John, but to Nicodemus. He opens up these mysteries to Nicodemus, who is so spiritually dull. So spiritually dull-witted, but he opens all of this up to him. And then he shares this remarkable, you could call it an abstract, but when I say that, I don't mean like abstract art. I mean, this is the distillation of the gospel. This is the summarization of the gospel. To go back, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God, the Christ Jesus, must be lifted up, crucified, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's why he came. That's why he was there. That's why he gave himself to suffer all of the things that he suffered, including the vicious beating and gross dishonor and humiliation he was subjected to prior to the crucifixion, and so forth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The favorite scripture throughout Baptist churches, you know, I mean, it is the one that you hear and hear and hear and hear, John 3:16. Why they insist on John 3:16 and not John 3:15 and 17 and 18 and 19 and so on and so forth is beyond me. So I'll back it up. Again, I'm going to just run through it, through the various different statings of the same thing. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And then, to the end in portion of this, what is referenced as the third chapter of John. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So now you get to the crux. Why is it that the Baptists have this incredible love affair with John 3:16? Why is it that Billy Graham and follower evangelists distill the gospel down to John 3:16? Why is that? It's in order to make it as easy a sales pitch as possible, they think. Let's do away with anything unpleasant. Let's do away with any downside here, any unpleasantness, with anything that might offend people and keep them away from salvation and the kingdom of God, when in fact what they do, what they succeed in doing, is the exact opposite of that. It's the same reason that so very many churches excise all of the Old Testament except for this little scrap of Scripture and that little scrap of Scripture. It's because, no, it's too heavy. It's the law, and we're not going to be judgmental. No, no, it's all grace. God loves everyone, wants everybody to be saved, and everybody really will be saved. Whether, you know, and again, the apostate churches and what have you, they then have it be that there is no judgment, there is no punishment, there is no penalty, there is no hell, there is no lake of fire and brimstone. Everybody is saved. They don't have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have to obey him. They don't have to submit themselves to him. He doesn't have to be their Lord and God and master as well as their Savior to be their Redeemer. Heavens no. Well, again, it's foolishness to try to omit these matters of the punishment and the condemnation, the damnation, because it takes power away from salvation. So then the options are that, well, you can be saved and inherit the kingdom of God, or you can just do whatever out there in eternity, but don't worry, because you're not going to suffer. Even if you don't believe on Jesus and don't worship him and don't honor him and don't obey him, there's really no downside except for the opportunity cost of missing out on getting to enjoy heaven. And then again, there are all manner of other apostate ministers and so forth who have it that everybody gets not only to escape punishment, but gets to be eternally rewarded, regardless. And that's a lie, a perversion of the truth, a perversion of the gospel. And there are many televangelists who have prostituted the gospel in order to achieve gain in the form of filthy lucre and fame, and to go along with that, fortune. But to go back, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Those would be viewed as extremely offensive, heavy, even hateful words. You know, this is hate speech, obviously, right? I think so. This is hate speech. No question about it. Even though it's in the Bible, it's in the New Testament, it's from God Almighty, it's from the Holy Spirit of God, but it's hate speech. We can't have that. No. So let's go back. This hate speech is coming forth from whom? Is it from Jesus? Is it from St. John, that is Apostle John? No, it's from none other than John Baptist, John the Baptist, that wild man. Well, what can you expect from him? I mean, he's, again, according to various hireling ministers, he is an Old Testament prophet, and he's just fire and brimstone, and so on and so forth. And a wild man, and a kook, and a nut, and a few other things. Even though Jesus says that he is the greatest that has ever been born of woman. Not just the greatest prophet, the greatest that has ever been born of woman. Of course, he was accepting himself at that point, but he should have said of man and woman. I know I shouldn't be saying what Jesus should have said, correcting somebody. He did say the greatest born of woman. He didn't say of man and woman, because if it were the greatest born of woman, needless to say, John Baptist would not be the greatest born of woman, because Jesus is. But Jesus went on to say, but he that is least in the kingdom of God, or lowest, if you prefer, is greater than he. So the greatest on the earth, the greatest that has ever been born of man and woman, the greatest person there has ever been on the face of the earth is less than the least in the kingdom of God. Well, obviously, John Baptist is going to be in the kingdom of God, but at this point in time, he was alive on this earth. So it was before his homegoing. But going back, Jesus said, these are Jesus' words now, not John Baptist, Jesus' words. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemned is damned. This is Jesus. This is meek and mild Jesus. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He goes on to say that this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Well, he calls himself the light. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the Lord Jesus Christ, neither cometh to the light, to him, to the Lord, lest his evil deeds should be reproved. No, it doesn't say evil deeds there. It says deeds should be reproved. But in the previous paragraph, he referenced their evil deeds. Their deeds were evil. So, by extension. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. After these things, so that's Jesus speaking. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. John was not in prison at this time, all right? For John was not yet cast into prison, all right? So, that again, with reference to the Gospel of Matthew and Mark, Luke. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Which is ever so much less pleasant than, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nothing wrong with what is referenced as John 3:16. It's a wonderful scripture. It's a wonderful truth. It is spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But the reason that it is used, overused excessively to the exclusion of these other scriptures, is for it to be more palatable, more marketable, more easily receivable than these other scriptures. Now, John, he said, this my joy therefore is fulfilled, speaking of his work, what he was sent to do. Mary, the mother of Jesus, who at that point in time was a virgin, not at this point in time. At this point in time, she was the mother of minimum of six other children, four sons, and I don't know how many daughters, but it was plural daughters, at least two daughters. But Mary, at the time that she had conceived by the Holy Spirit, went to visit her cousin, her elder cousin, Elizabeth, who was great with child after having been barren all of her life. And Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy. Mary went and visited her, and I believe that it was a fairly short visit. I believe that Elizabeth did not give birth for another 3 months. So instead, it wasn't a matter of Mary going and staying there for some prolonged period of time. But it was amazing what took place while she was there. John Baptist was the baby in Elizabeth's womb. This John Baptist. Jesus had just been conceived in Mary, in this young virgin woman, young woman, this girl. Newly conceived baby, and she goes and visits Elizabeth. And John, who is approximately 6 months in utero, leaps in his mother's womb at the presence, not of his cousin, because Jesus would only have been, you know, half cousin, begotten by the Holy Spirit, but at the presence of his Lord and his God. This preemie baby, John Baptist, leaps in his mother's womb when Mary comes in. John Baptist, again, would have been approximately 6 months, right between the second and third trimester. Oh, but hey, induced abortion up to full term is... Hey, that's a woman's right to choose for her baby to be torturously slaughtered is what it is. An evil choice. An evil, damnably evil law. The most cold-blooded form of murder there is committed by these abortionists. But I digress. John Baptist, at that age, leaps in his mother's womb at the presence of his Lord and his God, newly conceived in this young girl, Mary. And yet, there are ministers out there, plenty of them, who insist, no, life doesn't begin until birth. No, really. Yes, I was ordained and I had my ordination, recognized, by this affiliation. And I met with the head fellow there and I asked him about, I don't know how it came up, but I asked him about the matter of induced abortion. That, or he asked me, because of some things I was involved with. And I found out, but I think I asked him. I don't believe he was inclined to ask me. That he believed that. Absolutely. Life doesn't begin until birth. Okay? So if you're born, a couple weeks post-utero, beyond 9 months, post-full term. I shouldn't say post-utero. You're still in utero, but post-full term. Right? Past your due date, you're not alive until you come out of the womb. Meanwhile, if you're born preemie, 3 months preemie, 4 months preemie, you're alive. So this one baby is alive at, 5 months, and this other baby not alive until 10 months. Anyway, it's intellectually so dishonest. And it is diametrically contrary to the truth of God. But so John Baptist, he says, Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. That he has heard the voice of the bridegroom. He goes on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. Why is that, that he must decrease? He doesn't have to get lower or smaller for Jesus to be bigger and greater. But that was his sole mission, was to be the forerunner for Jesus. He goes on to say, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. John Baptist was ever so much more spiritual than Nicodemus, and yet he refers to himself as earthly. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. God Almighty and the only begotten Son, the risen, resurrected and risen, ascended Christ Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God the Father until his enemies be made his footstool, and then he has come again in glory. And wreaking triumphant victory on this earth. They are together at this point in time, as they have been since the resurrection and then ascension of Christ. And yet Jesus said that he was in heaven while he was on earth, which is something that's beyond me. There is so much that's beyond me. But God the Father and God the God the Father and God the Son, through the Holy Spirit, endue Christian believers with those whom they choose to, with spiritual gifts, gifts of wisdom, healings, miracles, prophecy, and so forth. Miracles being different from healings in that miracles includes moving mountains, if you will. All manner of things other than healings and other than casting out devils. So miracles including raising the dead and so forth. But there are many different spiritual gifts, and they are, you know, in the church, they are categorized different ways. But John Baptist said that Jesus, unlike the rest of us, he speaketh the words of God, For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Jesus had every spiritual gift and endowment and anointment in exceeding, exceeding abundance. Healing virtue exceedingly, and so forth. Because God the Father gave him everything without measure, not by measure, not a little of this and maybe a little of that, but everything in full supply. There's not parceling anything out to him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And as Jesus says elsewhere, that he taketh the Father and giveth unto us, that it's everything. He always honored, glorified God the Father in every single thing that he said and did. And yet he was God the Son. Unlike any minister I've ever met, unlike myself, there are spiritual greats who've gone before us, and they don't have to have been ones who moved mountains. They don't have to be ones who healed multitudes or raised the dead, but ones who worshiped and obeyed God. John Baptist never healed anyone that I'm aware of. He never cast out a devil that I'm aware of. He never raised the dead, as far as I know. He never enjoyed being used by God in that way. That wasn't his role. That wasn't his purpose. His mission was to go before the Lord Jesus Christ and make his way straight. Prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. I know I have felt sad about his early demise. You could call it premature demise. But he finished his work. He finished the work that God the Father gave him to do, even as Jesus the Christ finished the work that God the Father gave him to do. And John Baptist has completed his mission at this point, and he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. Again, I don't understand the need for that, except there were a great many who, unlike Andrew, did not leave John and follow Jesus, but stayed with John, remained disciples of John. Understandably so, John Baptist was the greatest that there had ever been. But you could say they needed to move on. Jesus was here. God the Son was on the face of the earth. And they needed to follow Jesus. And as long as John was here, they would not. As long as John was here, his disciples were sticking with him. With the exception of Andrew and this other unnamed disciple whom he introduces to Jesus. And so he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. So John Baptist lived a very deprived life. His career was being out in the desert, in the wilderness, preaching and baptizing people. He ate locusts and wild honey. Gluten-free, maybe. I don't know. But did not marry, had no wife, had no children, and was executed, murdered, beheaded. Probably before his, I believe, before his 31st birth anniversary. Not by some Islamist terrorists who are worshiping Satan and inflicting as much suffering and destruction on the kingdom of God as they can, on Christians and Jews, so that they can build a worldwide regime to tyrannize and terrorize all. No, just executed by a wicked king who did so to please this seductive daughter of the woman he married, who happened to be the wife of his brother. But not that King Herod hadn't wanted to have John murdered before that, he had. So when he says that he was sorry, no, not really. But John fulfilled his mission. So how many people do that? How many Christians do that? How many ministers do that? I haven't done that, and I am certain beyond a shadow of a doubt I won't succeed in doing so. So even though he lived such a brief life, he burned ever so brightly, as Jesus attests to. He finished the work that he was given to do. He glorified the only begotten Son of God. He was the greatest that there had ever been. And his entire mission consisted of ever such a brief period of time. God's ways are mysterious. Even as with reference to this about the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In that case, and God's word is true, Jesus' word is true, there, I'd say, the number of those that are born of the Spirit is rather small, but in the next message, I'll continue to go through the gospel according to John. But to reiterate, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jesus was sent first and foremost to the Jews. But, and that was by promise from God, but after his crucifixion and his resurrection, what did he instruct his apostles and disciples to do? To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, or as it's translated, creature, which of course it's not, every person. And he that believeth shall not perish, but inherit everlasting life. He instructed, he commanded his apostles and disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. And instead, the church preached and witnessed to the Jews until God allowed a fire to be lit under them, so to speak. Heavenly Father, Holy God, Mighty God, have mercy on us. Open our eyes. Open our spiritual eyes. Open our minds to thy word and thy spirit. And teach us and instruct us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And endue us with thy spirit of truth. And use us by thy spirit for thy glory. All glory, all praise, all thanksgiving, all worship be thine only. Now and ever, blessed be he who cometh in the name of the Lord in spirit and truth, in word and deed, in power and might. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly and account us worthy to stand before thee at thy coming. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Brad Thomas, and this is Christ's Resurrection of Life, Body. Thank you.